My guest is Hannah Epstein, who is a senior at Bryn Mawr College. She has written for the Baltimore Sun, the Brooklyn Daily Eagle, the Capital Gazette, and now The Nation. She's served as the co-editor-in-chief of the Bi-College News, Bryn Mawr's and Haverford's student newspaper from 2024 to 2025. And we're discussing her piece in The Nation as part of the Student Nation project, Surveilled on Your Own Campus. Universities across the country have used extraordinary measures to target student activists following more than 2 years of pro-Palestinian protests. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And it's crazy, your article, because it's, I wrote this little thing, but it's a chilling snapshot of the national trend, right? Universities, long mythologizes bastions of free inquiry, deploying surveillance, private investigators, quasi-police tactics to monitor, intimidate, and discipline pro-Palestinian student activists. And what has emerged is not a series of isolated incidents, but a coordinated cultural shift in higher education towards securitization, secrecy, and political suppression. And talk about this a little bit, because your piece starts with the following of a student in University of Michigan by private investigators hired by the university.
Yeah, that's correct. I first got into this story and I met Josiah Walker actually through like LinkedIn, and I had found his story because it was originally reported in The Guardian. And that was sort of how I found him and connected to him. But I had the idea for this article in specific after doing an investigation alongside a co-writer of mine, Ron Rastigari, in our student newspaper about my own college, Bryn Mawr College, hiring private investigators. And I pitched to Peter Rothberg, who's the editor and who runs Student Nation, following that article's publication here in our student newspaper about, you know, looking into wider trends across the country of how universities have sort of reacted to pro-Palestinian protests, reacted to pressure from the White House in recent months, and sort of, you know, if what I saw at Bryn Mawr College was being repeated in other places across the country, which ended up being was so.
Yeah, and this is like, so we have this project now that we started that we're working with Peter at The Nation as well, because we want to be collaborative, but it's Academic Freedom on Life Support. And I've already done a few interviews with student journalists as well, because there's this concept, right? It's academic freedom. It's students of all stripes and should not feel surveilled, obviously, on campus, right? And then this is the curtailing inquiry and curiosity. I just did an interview with a professor, right? We need a safe space to do these things, right? And certainly when the university is hiring private investigators to follow you and to monitor you, no one's going to feel safe, right?
Yeah.
So how do you think of Bryn Mawr? Because again, like when I think of Bryn Mawr College, I mean, for those who don't know, I mean, I think of it as a historic liberal arts college.
Yeah.
And I think of when you're talking about the University of Michigan, I think of, again, a historically liberal arts college, an open college. So I can't imagine what's happening. I mean, obviously, as we do this project, we're going to have more and more people from, say, the Deep South or a private university. But I can't imagine that this is not going on those campuses as well, right?
We've seen that at like university, just in terms of like how colleges are also getting involved with student journalists, like at the University of Alabama, as an example. Like there's just been, I think, a push in a way that there hasn't been, at least in like the past 50 years or so, according to the free speech experts I spoke with, to try and monitor and control the sort of discussions happening on college campuses right now.
And there's a big thing, right, with media, because in the last interview I did, it was tyrants hate truth. And most tyrants across the history of time have tried to control media. And so it can start with this chilling effect for student journalists. I don't know how you feel as someone who has the editor of a paper, another podcast that we've done, because again, we want to keep pumping up voices. Another editor, he was fired. He had to start his own website. He was in Texas. And he said he goes to the journalism conferences and things like that. And he said a lot of students don't know their own power. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but a lot of students, it's easier sometimes to shut them down. Do you feel that too as well? I mean, how much pressure have you been under at Bryn Mawr, like not do, you know, certain stories?
Yeah, I mean, I would say there's always been, like, I've done investigative pieces in the past, and there's always been a sort of I think like a natural tense dynamic between student journalists and administrators, which just kind of happens if you're doing your job right as a student journalist. But in the past year, I'd say that we've never been under, the BICO News at least has never been under the amount of pressure that we're currently under. And the dynamic has shifted in a way that's definitely gone far more negative. I came prepared. I printed out a bunch of stuff in preparation. Yeah.
And then that's part of it, by the way, just to not interrupt you, but interrupt you, is part of the thing I talked to Peter about too, is this is highlighting, you know, your voices as you go out into the world, because you've already written for the Baltimore Sun, but that's the exciting thing for me as well. So I'm glad you came prepared, but that's part of the thing that I love about this project is that we're bringing old and new together. And, but I appreciate you being prepared, but yeah, there's some, please tell me everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, after our article was published in the Bi-College News, which was titled, pull it up really fast, Private Investigators' Confidential Meetings and a Quote, Betrayal of Trust Inside Bryn Mawr's Probe into Pro-Palestinian Protests, which, you know, was basically, I did like a shortened version of it in the piece that was published in The Nation, but the longer story was, you know, students alleged being followed off campus, students had allegations where they were, you know, called into meetings, or misled into meetings that they thought was going to be a meeting with their dean and ended up being two private investigators that questioned them. One student alleged that they were being accused of, you know, violating school policy and threatened with disciplinary action. And they had no knowledge of any of that before they entered into the meeting. And so that article, you know, I think because Bryn Mawr is like a small college and everyone kind of knows each other, and there's also, I think, a perception amongst the student body that we're, you know, unique in some sense because we have like this really strong honor code. And, you know, there was a trust, I think, between, I don't know if it, I guess that's kind of been, you know, under pressure recently. But I think there was still like an understanding that like there was more trust between students and administration than there is in other colleges. And when we published that piece, we gave originally a right of reply, like most journalists do, you know, so the administration knew every allegation that was going to be outlined in the piece prior to its publication. We gave them like, I think 72 hours to respond. But when the piece came out, they, our president of the college sent out this school-wide email, this campus-wide email called December Reflections, Choosing Trust and Community, where she went on to call out the newspaper in particular, and said that we misrepresented their investigative procedures. And also had a couple of comments in there that, you know, implied, I think, that we did not do our journalistic duties. So let me see if I can pull them up really fast just to read them out, because it was like, I think, a bit of a shock. Oh, this is it. Okay. We continue to actively encourage student journalists to abide by best practices, multiple sources, accurate quotation, opportunities for comment, and consistent accurate use of those comments, as well as whether information provided is understood to be on or off the record. So when that email was sent out, it was like everyone in the newsroom all of a sudden was like texting each other and was like, what is going on? Because when we sent out the right of reply, they didn't deny any of the allegations that we sent them. And we published in full their statement, and there was no surprises in the article. You know, we did interviews with deep background sources to verify things. It was just like, I think the decision to like publicly sort of go at our article without having talked to us first, I think was a bit of a shock and took us back a bit. And then, you know, that sort of doled out like a whole bunch of new pressure between us and administration, which we had never experienced before. And we ended up putting out a statement, a response to this email a couple of days later with the help of Student Press Law Center, sort of like sharing the emails and the right of reply that we had sent them. We sent them another right of reply after this email came out, and we're like, if there's any errors in the article, you know, tell us. We're more than happy to publish them. And they couldn't list any errors in the article. And so I think like one of the things that is new is the very public comments from our president trying to discredit our work as opposed to like meaningfully engage with what we're reporting on. And that is something that like we've never experienced before.
Yeah. And you know, not to put you on the spot with numbers and everything like that, because the pressure that's being felt by these presidents across the country is severe. And I'm not, you know, I don't want to put, but it's, but that, it, that's probably what's happening here, right? I'm not, you know, again, not to put, I mean, not only is there a money situation, because there's we can go through the list. And I want to ask you about the students at Alabama too, because we talked, you briefly mentioned it, but I want to talk about that. And, but you have this thing where obviously these professors have been fired. They're under pressure. There's congressional hearings, there's bribes, there's attempts to cut money. There's, you know, it's, and again, that's where the tyrants come in, right? This concept of tyrants hate truth, but like, it's sad when these professors and these presidents are doing that. I mean, I understand that they're under great amount of pressure, but what we've seen across this country is some of them are kind of folding, right? I mean, and what we're seeing from this, you know, you write, hold on, I want to make sure I get this thing right. I mean, Josiah Walker mentions, he mentions the main thing is this never ending sense that you're not safe on campus. So the one job of the professor, the president of these universities should be, right, a sense of safety on campus. And the people who are, you know, there's these multiple sides and like, well, my side and this side and that side, right? But that's the argument of everybody, right? Everybody's saying they don't want to, they want to be feel safe on campus. So talk about that a little bit, and then talk about a little bit about the Alabama case that you mentioned before about student journalists at Alabama, because I don't think a lot of people that are listening probably know. I certainly don't. I mean, I'm there's so much news going in and out that we forget things. So those, just answer what you would like, but about the presidents, the pressure, and it maybe it, like, I don't want to, again, I put things in your mouth, but it's like there seems to be a There seems to be a situation where they're not honoring the student relationship and the relationship they have with students first. And that maybe that's kind of, that's obviously disheartening and problematic, which is this relationship they should have with their professors and their students. And it feels like they're kind of falling down on that.
Yeah. I mean, administrators and college presidents are under a lot of pressure, and so I don't expect that like the colleges are just going to operate business as usual right now. And I do recognize that a lot of these responses and a lot of these pushbacks wouldn't happen, I think, in regular times. And I think a lot of it is a result of, you know, even though we're small liberal arts colleges and we don't have that much of our money doesn't come from like, you know, federal funding, we are reliant a lot on federal Pell Grants and, you know, for students to be able to access the college and get financial aid. So like there's a lot of different aspects going on. And at Haverford College, which is, you know, the one that we're in a consortium with and our student newspapers for both of those schools, Wendy Raymond, who's the president there, was called to a congressional hearing last year that I attended and reported on. And so I think there is a lot of pressure that is sort of trickling down to students and student journalists. In the case of Alabama, you know, I'm definitely not an expert on that case, but they, from my understanding of it, you know, the administration shut down a student magazine because they had, you know, they were elevating voices of people of color. And they were, you know, from my understanding, the administrators were worried about it being perceived as like DEI.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was an independent student publication. You know, it wasn't a leg of the administration. It was something that students ran. And I think that is a dangerous precedent to set of administrators kind of coming in and influencing the student media.
Yeah, for sure. And then, and that's some of the conversations I've already had about this from other editors. It's, you know, yeah, I mean, these administrators, it's a business decision. It's they're running this thing as a business and less so an academic institution. I mean, there's so much I want to get to. I don't want to take up all your time, but it's, you write in your piece, the ACLU's Brian House, it's talking about that led first by foremost by the Trump. This is his quote from the ACLU, from Brian, lawyer Brian Haas, led first and foremost by the Trump administration and its cronies, that basically this is the worst repression in half a century, right? And there's that thing where we talked about the pressure, but it kind of reveals true colors, right? I mean, what they're, the lengths they're willing to go to. And in terms of your piece, the lengths are pretty insane. We talked about a little bit about it, but I think we need to just remind people, right? The article opens with a student being confronted by private investigators at the University of Michigan, right? We've talked about this through the through line of this. They're high, you know, they're outsourcing repression, right? Union busting tactics, gives them insulation, right? And this is a huge chilling dissent on dissent, right? So we've seen this before. I mean, and again, that's why we started this project, Academic Freedom on Life Support, not just for the professors to talk about things in their class and have open inquiry, but I can't solve it all today, but like, what would you leave with us with what we need to know? And certainly we'd love to have you on again as you write more. I know you're moving on in your life and you'll graduate, and hopefully you'll keep this through line of, like, again, I was talking to the other journalists, like, right, the through line of, like, you know, here's mud in your eye or what journalism is. But it's sometimes that repression and that sense of responsibility goes away if you end up at CBS or the Washington Post or the New York Times. Yeah. I don't, you know, I want you to have a great career, but careerism, right? We just published a piece on Truth for Sheer Post right now, which is careerism and about what happens in academia with careerism and the paths not chosen, things like that. But what would you leave people with about this kind of outsourced repression and, you know, and what you're seeing and like the trends and what maybe your next piece is going to be?
Oh, that's a big question.
Answer whatever you want. I always tell people this. I ramble on my question and you can answer whatever you want. And that's a key, by the way, for every single person listening and watching for the rest of their lives. Answer the question that you wanted to get asked and not the one you actually got asked.
Yeah. You know, I think that I think it's really easy to feel, especially as a student, powerless in the face of an administration. That's just like kind of like the nature of the dynamic. But I don't think it's always necessarily true. And the more people pay attention to what's going on campuses, like when the Guardian article came out and like my piece in The Nation was just sort of like a snippet of what the whole private investigator enterprise really was at Michigan. And the Guardian, you know, they were the one who broke the story, and it was, you know, Josiah Walker and a couple other students had allegations in that piece that sort of went more in depth into the length the school was willing to go to. But having that sort of acknowledgement, attention put on the issues does, you know, they ended up ending their contract with the private investigative company. Here at, you know, Bryn Mawr College, I think the attention has sort of dissipated on what happened last semester a little bit, but people still care. And as long as people care, you know, there's hope. Not to sound, that's a little cheesy sounding, but I think students have a say in how their college experiences turn out. Right? We're technically like the quote unquote consumers in this sort of big discussion. And if we push back or stand up for the truth or demand more transparency from our administration, you know, I have faith that they'll eventually at least meet us halfway, which I think is, you know, the best what we can hope for in these times. But yeah, I mean, I don't really know what my next story necessarily will be. I can say that on Bryn Mawr's campus, there is definitely a big sense of fear amongst the student body. People are very afraid to like go on the record or give their names. And that has been, you know, difficult to navigate as a student journalist because, you know, anonymous sources are obviously not ideal. But when people kind of feel like everything they do has the possibility of academic reprisal, even if that's not necessarily true, but that's sort of like the culture that's been cultivated on campuses, then the reaction is to sort of, you know, stay quiet. Which makes sense, but it also gives more power to the administration in the long run. And yeah, I mean, I would hope for further discussions with Bryn Mawr and students having the ability to sort of meet administrators halfway. I mean, everyone's going through a really hard time right now on college campuses. And I don't like necessarily think that the administration is like some evil entity that we have to like fight, but I think certain responses to the current administration are better for protecting academic freedom than others.
And I appreciate your time. And yeah, that, again, and this is the common like refrain, and I've asked the same question for people, but this chilling effect of self-censorship.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's what we're seeing kind of across the board. And about hope, I think that's a great way to end it. There's a quote, and I wish I can know it. Maybe I'll go look it up while, you know, but then there was a famous quote about hope, but it takes work, right? I mean, it's, you know, we hope, but it's working every day towards that hope. So I appreciate all the work you did. And obviously we'd love to have you on again as you write.
Yeah, of course.
And I definitely will post the article for those who are listening. If they're listening to say this on Apple, we will have the article on SharePost. We are going to repost it, and I will post the Guardian piece as well to discuss it. But